When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And so to the latest podcast. We're back in Brighton for another home game. Manchester City this time after we secured that European place with the victory over Southampton. I'm back in the Ladies Mall pub. Haven't been in here for ages in Patcham. And I'm back with the gent, Raymond. Hello, Raymond. How did you enjoy the weekend?
Well, apart from the 2-2 minute moment, which I'm sure everybody else spent, very much. I thought Mitoma played well, apart from he left his shooting boots, I think, at home or something. Seems to do everything but put the ball in the back of the net. But great pass for the second Ferguson goal. Obviously, great afternoon, historic afternoon indeed, for the Albion. Highest finish in the league in our whole history, so 123 years, and we've never been higher. Fantastic, all credit to Tony Bloom, and I think mentioned in dispatches for Dick Knight for saving the club, and also I think all credit to Paul Barber, and of course to our latest coach Roberto, and he seems to have taken the team, as much as anything else, mentally, to a different level. There seems to be more belief in the players individually that they can achieve things, and I think that's his great gift to Brighton, and hopefully in a number of years he'll continue to be able to do so, to be able to lift them. If I had one doubt, is that every time one of the Brighton players plays above average, everybody seems to want him. It doesn't matter who it is, unless they're sort of in their dotage, as far as professional football is concerned. That, if it isn't Arsenal or Liverpool, it's Tottenham or Chelsea or Manchester United or Man City or Newcastle, or somebody will want the Brighton player or the Brighton manager. So I suppose it's confident, but it's slightly worrying. I mean, I feel some of these multi-multi sort of trillionaires almost, wouldn't it be cheap and simple for them just to buy the club for a few trillion off Tony Bloom and not muck us all around and get on with it? I do have a concern as a sort of season end note about countries owning football clubs. I mean, and I know this is shared throughout the club, but anyway, and by other fans. But I think that has to be addressed. It's sort of ridiculous when you have a nation. The next thing that happened is that the United States will own a Premier League club. Italy will own a Premier League club. Germany will own a Premier League club. I guess Britain will own a total at all. Scotland is independent. Scotland will own one. Russia will own one. China will own one if it doesn't already. And so on. And it will just become a complete farce. It will become...
Well, that sounds like a World Cup or something, doesn't it, really? Yeah. It's getting right away from what we've won.
True, but it is... I mean, what a fantastic season. 18 wins so far, 7 draws, 70 goals, you know, magnificent. And all credit to the players and the club.
Absolutely. You mentioned Dick Knight earlier. Saw him pre-match in the concourse at Arsenal, and I just followed the signs, the singing Dick Knight. There's only one Dick Knight, but okay, Dick Knight's obviously been spotted. And we wandered along, I wandered along, found him, and he was just getting surrounded by people who, to a man and woman, were just saying the same thing to him: thank you, Dick. Which is fantastic, isn't it? He's still appreciated by most, which is superb. As is Tony Bloom, who I bumped into on the way home at Brighton Station after a few drinks, celebrating post-match, which no doubt he was doing in the dressing rooms and upstairs afterwards as well. But yes, it's been a fantastic season, like no other. Hopefully that won't be true going forwards. Hopefully there will be others like that one. Let's hope so. Quickly talking about the Southampton game, we did touch on it at half-time amidst much excitement as we were 2-0 up at the time. Evan Ferguson with both the goals, and then of course second half Southampton, as you said, pulled it back to 2-1, seemed to have pulled it back to 2-2, thankfully they hadn't, and we went on to win it with Pascal Grosch's excellent finish at the end there as well. What did you take out of the game in terms of the goals scored and overall performance?
If I thought of the stat, which might surprise people, our passing accuracy was 92%, which is the highest I've seen in any game. And on the other hand, I thought we gave the ball away quite a lot. It seems sort of contradictory. I think most of the time we lost the ball, it was actually people like Assiso when they were running at defenders and losing it because people were tackling them, rather than necessarily misplaced passes, looking back on it. I think we were just able to lift ourselves from the fatigue for that one big push. And I think credit to Roberto for, in a sense, writing off the Newcastle game, which was always going to be tough and would have been difficult to have got a win or even a draw possible. And actually saying the one match that we can definitely win is the Southampton, and making sure he had the freshest squad and stronger squad for that game. And I have to think one gives him credit for that in reading the tea leaves. And because of the Brentford victory over Spurs and the Liverpool Aston Villa draw, the other results had already gone for us and have endorsed his decision. I thought it was refreshing. It was nice, you know, with after 80 minutes to be, it'd be more relaxed with a 2-goal lead. I think my man of the season has been Gross. I think he's slightly underrated generally in his Brighton career. What a fantastic signing. But he just brought that control when we needed it. And he took his time, didn't rush things when he scored that third goal. Everybody else was going around like sort of the last flies, if I can use that term. And he just almost slowed the game down and saw there as an opportunity in the near post and took it with a very good left foot shot. Of course, he is two-footed, very much. And most of our other players would want to get it onto their favourite foot and probably would have butchered the chance. And I thought Ferguson took both his goals as well. I mean, what a par he got into that first finish.
Yeah.
And going under the defender's legs, of course, the goalkeeper saw it slightly late. By the time he sort of saw it, it was past him.
Yeah.
But clearly, it was a par. And that was a Kane-esque type finish. And the second one, he just was in the right place and doing the right thing in a way that Kane has sort of a couple of hundred times.
There are a lot of similarities between the players, aren't there? I think one's far less objectionable than the other one. And I think we can guess which way around that goes. But in terms of style, there's a lot of similar elements between those players. Also, I agree with what you said about Grosch. He's been an outstanding servant. So delighted we kept him on, and looks like he'll stay on beyond as well.
And he signed in the summer. He signed a 2-year extension.
Yeah, exactly. And he's now joint top scorer for Premier League goals, a Premier League era goal roles with Glenn Murray and Neil Morpay. And he might even this season be that. That would be a fantastic way to finish this season. I think another landmark. But in terms of Ferguson, what a talent. And I think he's got something like double figures now, 10 goals, I think it is.
Yeah, 6 in the Premier League.
And four in the Cup, yeah.
Or Cups, I should
cups,
say.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great, looking forward. What you said earlier as well about players seemingly being coveted as soon as they start to show the slightest inkling of being really, really good, it does seem to be the case with us. We seem to have people latch on to our players so much quicker than other clubs do. I don't know if it's my imagination. But Grealish stayed at Villa for quite a long time. Rice has stayed at West Ham for quite a long time. And lots of other players seem to have done. Ward-Prowse could have left Southampton a lot sooner. A different type of player. There's lots of players that seem to hang on at certain clubs. And we seem to be having to... We may be able to achieve that, but having to fight to do it a lot more than other clubs do. I don't know if that's a perception, because we're Brighton fans, we just look at it that way. I don't know. Who knows?
I think there's an element of people outside of Brighton sort of pitching themselves at Brighton where they are, can't really believe it and probably think they're dreaming it. And therefore, if they're the agent and they've got a player at Brighton, regardless of whether he's 21, 24 or whatever, they're going to say, well, Brighton aren't going to be able to go and do it subliminally. And therefore, we're better off getting our player into what traditionally has been called a Big Six club. While he's seen to be valuable, it increases earnings. Rather than thinking, well, how much more benefit is he going to get if he stays at Brighton? He might earn slightly less, but if he gets the right endorsements, etc., we can increase his earnings in other ways. And then they're thinking in terms of salary and their cut of it, rather than the other aspects of the earning power, image rights. David Beckham made fortune on that sort of side.
Yeah.
And doing that. And also, players stay. One of the things they know, the young players, and let's take Buonanotte, who only joined us in January, just 18. And he's actually got quite a lot of game time.
Yeah.
I mean, Buonanotte in a month of... two millennia or something would not have actually had more than 2 or 3 minutes at most at a Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, etc.
Yeah.
But Brighton he does.
Especially given that... he's not hit the ground running completely. He's shown flashes and flourishes, but he hasn't really hit the ground running. And in fact, some Albion fans are expressing doubts about whether he'll really be up to the same sort of standards as other players coming through. But the fact is, he's been given all that game time while we're having the most successful season we've ever had. So it's not as if it's detrimental to our overall season. It's definitely not detrimental to the bigger picture, that's for sure. But speaking of Buonanotte and other teenagers, do you see the stat on Match of the Day 2's coverage of our game? And it said that teenage goal scorers this season, we've had 10. The next nearest is 3. I think there's only 4 other clubs have got anybody on the board at all with that. And the next 2 have got 3 each. We've had 10 goal scorers who are teenagers.
We've got in the Premier League,
10 goals, sorry.
And Ciso with 3, and Buonanotte with 1.
Yeah.
I thought Buonanotte had his best game in the second half against Southampton. But I think we also have to factor in Buonanotte that he isn't actually playing in his best position.
That's true.
He's not a winger. He doesn't look like a winger. But he's doing a job for us over there. And he's a number 10. And when he did play number 10, he scored his goal.
Yeah.
So, obviously, in the Notts Forest game when we lost, but nonetheless, he was in the right place at the right time, rather sort of messy, as he is likened to. And I want to see him have a spell of games playing in that position.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be interesting. I got the impression on Sunday that when he was actually attacking people where there's a lot of traffic, he was doing quite well. And therefore, I think he's used to not having space, and having to work in confined areas.
Yeah.
I think his one error was that having beaten 2 or 3 players, he was trying to beat the 4th. Whereas I think with experience, which is obviously what we're doing, he'll realise he's got to get rid of the ball after the first 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's a classic South American trait, isn't it, in youth, is to overplay a little bit, I think. And then Ciso's learning that as well. Where I think we'll get on to talk about transfers as well, because I know you wanted to get an early word in on transfers in a minute, and food is on order, so we might get interrupted by that at some point. But on the matter of replacements and within the team, we lost Trossard, and I think people will say Mittema's the replacement. For me, Buonanotte is the replacement, because I always thought Trossard looked like a sickly Victorian child. And there's a bit of a vibe about that, about Buonanotte as well, I think.
So you think one Victorian child for another?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Perhaps we should say sort of a Carolean child.
Anyway. There's space in the Albion workhouse here, Raymond, yeah. But speaking of transfers, right, so what did you want to say on that? Because we're going to need a number of players additional because of the squad, aren't we now?
Ignoring, let's assume the present purposes, but nobody left. Even without anybody leaving, I think we need to have at least two more defenders. I think the squad that we've got is sort of five. And I'll come on that in a second. But I think we're really short on fullbacks at the moment. We've only got two truly specialist fullbacks. Lepti, who seems to be still having problems injury-wise. So, big question mark against him. Love him when he's fit, and he was just beginning to really play at pace before he got the latest injury. And Esther Pennant.
Yeah.
And we haven't really got anybody left back other than Marsh, question mark, who can really play at left back. I guess Colwell could do a job there. But the one player we know we are going to lose, almost certainly, is Colwell, because he's only on loan from Chelsea. But ignoring that, so we need at least one more fullback. Ideally, somebody who can play both sides. I would actually prefer two fullbacks, but perhaps, but players who are versatile and can play other positions. Veltman, I always feel, is best as a right-sided centre-back of a three, but that's not how we play now. And he does a job, and a very good job defensively, normally, as right-back. And I think his experience and camaraderie, and the fact he's obviously a and respected member of the squad, I think he'll stay, and I think that's good. But he might not, so we have to look at that. I think we need, if Colwell is going, we're going to need another central defender. But we might need another one anyway, because if we're playing in Europe and doing it, we're going to need enough people who can come in and cover it. And that then brings us to the other issue, is that one of our other habitual injury-prone players is Webster. So one of the reasons I'm saying another defender is that Webster comes in, plays a few games, gets injured after a few games, and if that sort of schedule we're likely to have, we can't afford to be short of a guy most of the time.
Yeah.
It puts a stress on the resources. So, but Cole will have to be on piece, and therefore we need another left-sided, left-footed defender who can go in there. I don't know who it will be, but we need somebody. I think we never replaced Umwepu, although one could argue Arari, but he's had only a few minutes so far, literally in one game, so we don't know how to assess him.
A couple of games, I think, but basically the same point then. Yeah.
And hopefully, this guy from Borussia Dortmund, Dahoud, in a sense, is a replacement for him.
Yeah. And Modra hopefully comes back into the equation, of course, as well.
Yeah, but Modra was part of our squad anyway.
Yeah.
So we were missing him for the whole season.
Yeah.
So we didn't actually replace Modra as far as central midfield was concerned.
And Lallana, again, might be injured a lot and may not play much. Milner probably won't. He apparently have now agreed something. It's just a matter of formalising. He's not going to be a 90-minute man. He'll be a 60-minute man in some of the games, I would imagine, is the way he will play. But his flexibility, at least, is something. Especially if Webster does continue to have injury issues, he's not someone that can cover right back. But Milner can play there, for example, if necessary. If it gets over the line, but I agree, we need those resources. Levi Colwell, I think, from what I'm hearing, it sounds like he's very happy here, and he would be up for coming back, and he would certainly want to get game time, and he certainly wouldn't get as much of that with Chelsea, you wouldn't think, on the basis they've got fewer games to compete in to start with next season, and I'm probably pleased to say. But in general, I think he would like the move, unless, of course, somebody bigger up the food chain comes in, in which case it might be a case of how well he enjoyed working with Roberto versus another scenario.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool have been rumoured to Yeah. Sort of like the look of him.
Yeah. Could it be a swap deal with Sanchez, though, at Chelsea? That's a feasible option,
well,
isn't it, surely?
That then raises, might come on to that later, the question of goalkeepers. But I think that we do need that. In midfield, I think we need, we may need somebody else. Lallana, obviously, coming back to him. I think we need another attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not sure who that would be. I mean, just assuming everybody else stays. Somebody who's a captain. Vernon Offit might come into the mix. Somebody enters another injury-prone person, comes in, plays a few matches, gets injured. And again, I don't think we can count on him. I mean, if he's around, well and good. But
yeah, it's a great shame.
It's a but. I mean, he gets, plays a few matches, gets injured against West Ham, comes back, gets injured. It is a great shame. And I think he's got fast feet, he could be a talent. But, you know, he's somebody that we can't count on.
Yeah.
And going back to Veltman, one thing is when Veltman does get injured, he seems to get back and be able to play. I'm not saying he's fully fit, but he seems to be able to come back and, come and do a job
pretty quickly. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was our food arriving.
Yes. So we'll break in a minute.
We're at a very nice pub, the Lady of Mile, and we would recommend it highly. So
absolutely.
If you're in Brighton, sort of on the downside of Brighton, then
yes, Patcham area.
Patcham area, a good place to come.
Just final line on for me for now on transfers. I do think Sanchez probably will go because it sounds as if he's not happy with being dropped, and there might be a falling out. And it sounds as if, from what I'm hearing, that
yes, thank you. Cheers, lovely. Thanks.
Oh, that looks great. Excellent. Cheers. And that looks hefty. And so if we're losing Sanchez, which I think we will do, because I think Roberto doesn't kind of tolerate too long a falling out scenario. So if he goes and we need a goalkeeper for definite, even if Rushworth does come into the equation, I'm not sure about Van Hecker whether he's going to make the grade at the moment. And
it's difficult to
say. Yeah.
I mean,
a fire might come into it though.
Who's it?
A fire.
I'm not sure. I saw him earlier in the season playing actually against USG, Tony's other club, and Adrinagar basically had him on toast. So.
Well, attacking players-wise, speaking of USG, of course, Simon Adingra comes back into the equation. He'll probably come back to the club this season now after his successful season there. A couple of weeks ago, he'd scored 14 and assisted 14, so he's doing very well. His stats generally are better than Mittimer's in most regards, including defensively, interestingly. So his backtrack work might be better as well, back covering. But players like Sanchez, Van Hecker, and other players we've had on loan like Kadra and maybe Roberts and people like that, I'm not sure if they will get into this team. We'll have to wait and see. But we certainly need to improve numbers, and I think there's going to be some coming and going, so we're going to have to replace lots of players.
I mean, obviously, the one player that we have got, is, of course, Jean Pedro from Watford. And I consider really that him, I know you were talking about, the Victorian child, but actually, in a sense, he is the sort of, I think, replacement for Trossard. I mean, half a season late, but not that bit, better late than never.
Yeah.
But, I mean, interestingly enough, when he played as a number nine, in the 12 games he played for Watford, he only scored one goal, got some assists, but only one goal. And he got something like six goals playing as a secondary striker. So that might be the attacking midfielder sort of role.
Yeah.
But he played sort of effectively left wing. And he was one of, has scored some couple of goals there, and a couple from left midfield.
Yeah.
So he's obviously quite versatile. Apparently has pace and close control, good dribbler.
Yeah.
So that's one thing we do need.
Well,
whether we need another striker, I would like another wide attacker who can play centrally.
Undav making a degree of a mark might help that matter, I suppose, and a Dingra can weigh in the goals. But, well, let's talk about that a little bit more, because this fish pie is distractingly enticing. It's just right in front of me. And I have to say, Raymond, your steak looks pretty good as well. What have you got there, Jane?
Fish finger wrap
with a nice coleslaw salad. Looks great. We better get on with that. Maybe a bit more transfer chat, and definitely our thoughts on the game coming up tonight, coming up in part two. Okay, so to part two then, Raymond. Finishing off our debate about what we need and transfers.
Well, we were talking about Undav, weren't we? And I think it's worth thinking that over the last sort of 5-6 games, he's scored 4 goals. I mean, obviously got his mojo working with the 2 goals against Wolves, scored 5 since. Certainly seems to know how to love a goalkeeper.
A seagull with chips.
Yeah, something like that. He's doing it, so... But mustn't overplay Ferguson. Welbeck, we always have a question mark over his fitness, but if we can rotate Ferguson properly, and that will probably suit Welbeck, because Welbeck can't play twice a week. But we still might need, I know about Pedro, obviously, who mentioned before, but we might need somebody else who can be another wide attacker and play centrally when needed. But otherwise, I think keep the same. I think Undav was certainly adapted and learnt, and I think quite often takes a player, particularly coming from one of the lower European leagues, time to adjust to the pace and intensity. And it's not just the pace, it's the intensity of the Premier League. And I think it's taken Undav this time to adjust, and I think he looks more comfortable playing. Although I'm not convinced by him and Welbeck playing in the same formation.
No.
I sort of feel, I mean, Undav's been playing slightly deeper with the two, but one feels that, you know, that they still want to occupy the same space. So that's if we didn't lose anybody. Now, of course, the other side of it is, who are we going to lose? And obviously the two prime candidates are McAllister looks as if he's going to Liverpool. Presumably will happen, but may not. And one hopes one get a sensible fee for him, that will help finance some of this rebuilding. And the other, of course, is Casido. I think Casido is less replaceable. So I think he's a sort of one-off sort of player, and I only get better. And I think he would benefit from another season with Brighton and a season in Europe as well. And I hope we can persuade him to stay for another year and make a difference. But otherwise, trying to find our two main central midfielders, Ross done a great job. I think Gilmour has been doing a great job recently. But I think that that is quite a big ask to get two people world class to suddenly come in at this stage.
Yes, because what we're doing is we're playing a double pivot, which a lot of teams don't do, and we are. And when the really, really hard person to replace is one of those two, you're not going to have a triple pivot. So you need somebody who can provide either greater depth and the other player can get further forward to help support, or I'm not sure how they're working out, but it's going to be a slight adjustment, a slight shift in how they play, isn't it? You're not going to get a direct replacement. Because Caicedo, as you said, it's pretty much impossible. And if we did find someone, they're either not going to be ready yet and turn out to be that brilliant, which would be an amazing find, but it will take time, or they're already obviously ready and they would cost probably most of what we're selling Caicedo for.
I mean, I suppose we could go and buy Declan Rice, but I mean, we might have to pay a couple of million more for him than we get for Casino. So, we'd be buying an older player rather than somebody who is only 20.
Exactly. Not our modus operandi.
So, at some stage, we're going to have to try and encourage players to stay, as you were mentioning. I think that's a bit longer. Some players you were mentioning have stayed with their clubs. Ward-Prowse, you mentioned Rice in a different context. These sort of players and doing it. But even if you get a high-profile, let's take Phillips, playing at Leeds. He hasn't actually had an injury, but he hasn't actually played that much for Manchester City. He just hasn't got into the team. There you are, playing for the national team. You're the standout player for the club you've been playing for. And then you're in the second team for Man City. So it's quite difficult. So I think there is a very big... A very big sort of questions over what will happen as far as those two players are concerned. So I think it's sort of, I think it's difficult. And if they go, it's a sort of, it's a bit like the spine of the team going.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. So we could see, A, we need more resource. B, we need to strengthen the areas that we've been weak on. And C, we may have to replace that. And then it comes to the Sanchez question. Sanchez, I think, I'd love to hold on to him, but that seems to be some sort of problem in the relationship that he's got with the coaching staff. I hope it can be resolved. I can understand his desire to play. I think that we need, if we're getting to the, you need three keepers of a minimum standard, but you need two top keepers and one, a third one who is good enough. I'm not sure that we've got that third keeper. Still, I think, has been surprising. I'm somehow not convinced, but I don't know why that is. I think it's very good distribution-wise, but some of the games, we haven't been able to see him. Sorry, we got distracted.
Yes,
we got distracted there. We had to pay for the bill, a bit like Tony Blue having to pay $90 million for the stadium at the end of the first stage.
Almost exactly. anyway, you were saying it.
But I think there's going to be potentially a lot of change, and I hope with that change, whatever happens, it would be interesting. We seem to be trying to do the business early, which I think is the right thing, before people start saying Brighton have 140, 160 million therefore we can charge them sort of three times what we would have done. But I hope that also in doing it that we also pick up a couple of good quality Buonanotte and Ciso type youngsters for the future. So we mustn't lose sight of that in trying to get the people for the first team. And I hope we, with the potential Milners on as well, having that one or two older people like that, we still need to bring in the sort of 23, 24, 25 year olds, as we did Ross when he first came.
Yeah.
He's been a fantastic servant. So I think, it could be a very busy sort of, and I remember Chris Houston some years ago saying it was going to be a quiet window. And then we went to the fans forum, if you might remember, at Russell. And I think we'd actually bought about 9 people. So I actually sort of questioned that if that was a quiet window.
What a busy one. Yeah.
What a busy one.
Well, I think it will be a busy one this time round, for sure. Certainly lots of ins and outs, because as I mentioned there, I listed a few people who might go or might go on loan. We'll definitely need to strengthen numbers. We'll have to replace people that go, including those that we don't want to go, but we'll be reluctantly selling. And we need some fresh faces in there. Let's see. It's going to be an exciting, busy summer. I'm sure we'll have later transfer discussions as well. But we're going to depart here to start making our way to the ground. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff. We don't know the teams yet, so we'll do a quick chat on what we think about the match once we know the teams in about half an hour's time. Okay.
That'd be great.
To the car. Okay, to the third and final part then. We now have the team news, don't we, Raymond? Interesting lineup. Let's just go through it. So it's Steele, Colwill, Grosch, Welbeck, Enciso, Mittema, Casado, Gilmore, Van Hecker, Estupinan and Buonanotte. So we know Steele will be in goal, of course. I hope so.
Yeah, it'll be Enciso in goal, of course.
Who knows with Mr. De Derby. We're going to have Colwill and Van Hecker, aren't we, at centre-back. It's either going to be Grosch or Casado at right back. The other one playing in midfield with Gilmore, Estupinan obviously on the left back role, and then whoever isn't playing at right back will play midfield with Gilmore, as I said. Then you're going to have either Enciso or Buonanotte behind Welbeck. The other of those will be on the right side and Mittema on the left, I'm guessing. The subs bench is strong. We've got McGill, but we've also got Webster, Dunk, very unusually not starting, McAllister, Undav, Ayari, Ferguson, Veltman and Popion. We're going to talk about Dunk in a minute, but first of all, on that team, what do you make of that?
Well, I think when we had a sort of warning of that Dunk been carrying this injury and therefore was going to be on the bench, I think. I think Roberto said that yesterday, and Veltman, he obviously didn't want to push again, having obviously come on and done a job.
This is back and calf issues that Dunk's been playing with recently.
And also, I think, Veltman, we know he's been carrying an injury. Great that he came and did the time he did on Sunday. I think it'd be interesting. I expect people like Ferguson and Arari, McAllister, that, and you know, to come on and perhaps even Darvin Veltman. So it's Webster could get a bit of an outing. That's six subs, I know, but some sort of combination. I think he'll try and keep Dunk off unless he has to. Quite a test for Van Heck and Colwell together. I mean, are they the future? I don't know. And of course, one should not forget that Lewis Dunk has been called up to the England squad.
Yes.
And maybe playing in the European qualifiers, or should be, hopefully playing at least one, if not both, European qualifiers in June. So congratulations to Lewis, and well deserved.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as if wonders will never cease this season.
I'm not sure.
He's 31 now, isn't he?
Yeah. I have to actually say, I'm just wondering if Southgate actually chose the squad. or somebody else was standing in for him. But anyway, in terms of today's match, of course, I haven't yet seen the Manchester City thing, although, of course, as a friend of mine said this morning, Manchester City's second team is stronger than anybody else in the PL's first team.
Yeah.
But then, I was a little surprised, and one is, you know, there is this question mark over them, and I think it'd be wrong not to raise it, over the financial fair play. There are a whole lot of instances being examined up to 2018. They appear not to be have transgressed or even potentially transgressed since then, but and of course they may not be guilty, and they may be found innocent, and they're doing it. If it's just one small minor infringement, you know, I think one can forget, you know, forgive that. But if it's anything more substantial, then I do hope that the PL stand up and make sure that there is a meaningful sort of punitive sort of action taken against them. But if they are innocent, then, you know, obviously it should be forgotten, and we should move on from there, and we should move on anyway. But it is difficult when you are trying to compete against people who have limitless pockets and, you know, effectively can go out and buy the best 22 players in the world. And all you need is a good coach, and we do know Man City have got a really good coach who can make them sort of gel as a team. So it makes it harder. But
notwithstanding the fact they've got a big stadium, which was on their doorstep due to other development originally, which they're able to expand again with such vast, endless resources, which does help increase the strength of.
Let's face it, they do play some great football, and they are a good team.
They're not bad.
And any team that can beat Real Madrid 4-0, in the way that they did, you know, I think you have to take the hat off.
That was one of the most sensational performances by a single team in terms of dominance over another I think I've ever seen.
Well, certainly by a British team in Europe. I can't think of anyone.
I mean, but that's right up there with Barca at their best in, 10 years ago or whatever it was. Absolutely fantastic, wasn't it? And they're the best team in the world. They've overridden Arsenal. Arsenal had, I think it's a long, tough season to do it, especially first time round. And they were just overawed a bit in the end. A few slips.
Yeah, just hadn't quite got depth. But actually, I think one has to give credit to Arsenal and Arteta and the players to actually run the best team in the world, you know, right down to the last three or four games.
Yeah.
Of course, Arsenal weren't helped by losing to Brighton, which, you know, and I'm still waiting for the cheque from Man City, you know, for their help.
They couldn't really see out a couple of 2-0 leads, and that was what cost them. I think not so much the Liverpool game, because Liverpool's a good side, that can happen, but they should have seen out the advantage over West Ham when they were 2-0 up, and obviously they then had a terrible start against Southampton and went 2-0 down. That's where they lost the league for me.
Yeah, probably.
They could have feasibly lost to us and still won the league if they got the results in all those other games.
Yeah, if they got the extra 4 points.
But City just finished season so relentlessly well. They're like a machine, aren't they? And people I'm calling Haaland the Norwegian Robocop, but he pretty much is. But the team's like that, aren't they? They're mechanical.
Well, I mean, he's just made, what a difference he's made. I mean, everybody thought Aguero was a fantastic centre forward, and he was.
Hmm.
But, I mean, Haaland has just taken finishing to another level.
Yeah.
And given some of the time he isn't playing because he has the old niggling injury and things, just to think if he sort of played every minute of every game, how many goals he would have scored.
Yeah, I mean, he could break various records.
But the fact that we've qualified for Europe, you know, tonight is a game just to savour, relax, I know I will care
yeah,
what the result is,
of course.
But actually, yeah, and it'd be nice to get yeah, some sort of positive result. Mm. You know,
yeah.
Draw, win would be fabulous.
Yeah. Because let's face it, no matter what team they put out, even if it is what they would deem as a weakened team,
it's going to be worth watching.
It's going to be worth watching. And ours is a weakened team tonight anyway, which it has to be, I think. It's got to be rotated in and out, alternate games, and this was the one where we have to weaken it slightly, particularly with the issue with Dunk. And we do want to make sure we get a result against Villa. I'd quite like to see us squeeze them out of Europe, to be honest, but either way round, respectability-wise, we need to get a result against Villa. This game is, in a sense, the classic free-hit cliche, but it's also a game against, for me, the best team in the world at the moment, and one of the greatest teams of all time. We can enjoy that.
Watching the players.
And if you get a result against them, brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a privilege to be able to watch a side like that. And you know, the fact that, I mean, credit to Tony and everybody at the club that we are where we are.
Yeah.
It's a terrible modern expression.
Yeah.
But the fact that we had the dream, we followed the dream, we were disciplined over the dream, and I think you know, it's been a well-worked club, and we haven't been prepared to compromise on our principles and or standards, and I think we've been rewarded for that.
Mm.
And let's hope we can continue and to do it and go as we are.
Mm.
And going back to our previous conversation, just you know, if we can try and persuade people like, in the future, the Casinos and the McAllisters and other people, just to stay that little bit longer so that we can achieve that little bit more.
Yeah.
Not just European football, but perhaps Champions League football.
Yeah.
That would be good. And I think that has to be our aim next season. I'm not saying we'll achieve it or even achieve what we have this season, but I think that has to be our aim. And one of the things that Paul Barber was saying on a recent podcast, a high performance, was how Roberto had made Tony and him look higher than they were, that he got them to raise their sights.
Mm.
And I, you know, that's part of the impact Richmond hadn't heard of before that Roberto's had on the club.
Yeah, fantastic.
Lovely. And so, to tonight.
Yeah, on to the game.
Well, fantastic.
Have a little bit of comment afterwards.
Up the Albion.
Let's see how we do. We've just scored an absolute stunner. We're on the attack. We didn't deserve to be behind anyway. Great game. We've got a corner. We did score from one earlier, didn't we, Kevin? Although it was ruled out for a handball. Anyway, here we go. 1-1. 41 minutes. And, a stunning strike from Enciso. I wasn't going to record anything during the match, but I've got to talk about this, Kevin.
Unbelievable.
Stunning try, wasn't it?
Still can't quite get my head around it. I was just saying, he'd done very little. He'd worked hard, but not had many touches.
Certainly had a good touch there.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
So here we go again. Here
he is. Again. Goal. Come alive, isn't he, now?
And he was just
brought
down as well when he was
there. They got away with a couple of yellows. They finally got one just now. And we're still in our off. Still putting pressure on.
Well deserved one.
Yeah. When they scored, I thought it was a really good 0-0 game.
Definitely shaded it.
Yeah.
And with, you know, probably the team that when you looked at beforehand, a few worries or whatever, but they really, really acquitted themselves well. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great atmosphere as well.
Sensational. On the attack again, Gross. Went on offside. Gilmore tried to spread it through, but no joy. So it's half time, it's 1-1, but it could have been 3-1 to us. A couple of goals disallowed. We had the ball in the net three times. The one that stood was a goal of, well, we're standing in the stadium where they were going on about area of outstanding natural beauty, and that's the reason we weren't going to be able to build it. Well, we did build it, and the stadium is the area of outstanding natural beauty reason. But I'll tell you what else is, that goal, that was outstanding natural beauty, wasn't it?
It certainly was. A shot of outstanding natural beauty. And Enciso's goal, that is world class. And I just have to say that our team have been world class this half. That was the best half that I think I've ever witnessed live.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got two great sides at their peak, just being utterly brilliant. And actually, I think we outplayed them. It was incredible, absolutely incredible. I thought after the first 25 minutes or so, when they scored the goal, that we would have, our heads maybe have gone down. Not a single shot with it. We just piled on the pressure. I haven't seen the stats yet, but I think we've got more possession than them. And we've had more shots.
Yeah.
We are the better side against Man City in this first half. It's been utterly incredible. I fucking love this half. It is the best half I've ever seen. I will say it now. That is it. It's incredible.
Okay, well, John, so Duncan's obviously disappointed. What did you think of it?
It was all right. Absolutely amazing football, both sides. I mean, what a match. Well, only half, but what 45 minutes of football. Incredible.
We've had a celebration this year of so many good moments, so many good games, so many good results. And on to top it all off, now that we can relax effectively, knowing we've achieved our goals, I'll say to the gent on the way in here, we're coming to this, we can enjoy this because we don't have to worry about it, and we can just enjoy however well we can play with whatever team we put out against them, and enjoy their football as well, because they are the best team in the world, bar none. Probably by a bit of a distance, I'd say.
Agreed.
That's proved against Real Madrid.
Agreed.
And as the guy in the queue behind us, Chalky, is someone that sits near me, was saying, four halves of football, Real Madrid couldn't do anything similar to what we've done in our half of football so far against them. Alright, maybe not in the game earlier in the season, but anyway. But a stunning, stunning performance so far. The goal from Ed Ciso is just out of this world.
World class.
He started his own goal of the season competition.
It's been incredible. It's been a fascinating match to watch. You've got Guardiola, who is idolised by Roberto De Zerbi, and they both love each other. There's a mutual love in there. And then us playing a load of second string guys in there, saving people for Villa, who are going to come out really, really strong. They need a lot. They need a point on Sunday.
Yeah.
And the guys have just absolutely turned up. It's just incredible. Oh,
that's what they just showed.
But it's been fascinating. You know, both the way they play and just intellectually, it's just incredible.
It really is. And we're going to watch this one more time.
The
behind the goal shot of it. That's just so good.
It is just incredible. We have just played absolutely amazingly. It is fantastic. And well, there you go. I'm saying that.
No, that's fine. I was going to say, watching what we've watched, amazing. Just the match-ups, the link-ups, what's been going on the pitch, the duels, who's playing who, Gross playing at right back, he's having to deal with Silva on that side, he's having to deal with Foden, who was outstanding in the earlier part of the game. He just seemed to float through the teams.
I think I saw two or three gross turns as well.
Gross
turns were amazing.
He's done about four.
And just cool and calm and collected on the ball against the greatest team in the world, in world football at the moment.
And we're going not only head-to-head. When it was 0-0, when they scored the goal, I said, that's a shame, because this feels like a really good 0-0 that should still be a really good 0-0.
Correct.
It felt disappointing, even though Haaland had missed a relatively free header earlier in the game.
Yeah.
It still felt like we'd had our chances as well. When it got to that later stage, we started to really turn it on, put the heat on them, and they couldn't get out of their half for a while.
Yeah.
Not bad. And then they've got a full-strength team out here, by the way. They've got nobody, apart from the goalie, and you could argue Lewis playing on the left side.
They've got
what you would call their very, very first choice.
That was something I was going to say earlier, and then we got distracted. You know, we're playing the second string team, and they're playing full full Champions League winners team.
Lewis
bar
a couple. As well. Yeah. A couple of times he's really panicked when he's been in possession.
Yeah. They could have had one or two more yellows, I think, as well. The ref was letting stuff go. In the end, Silva did get booked, but I think overall, no real qualms to the ref. That is on the basis that I'm assuming the right decisions were made, but the disallowed goals. Because we've had the ball in the net three times.
Incredible.
We had we scored from a corner. Well, it got ruled out, obviously, because they're not allowed to score. So that was apparently a handball, and then there was the Mittimer one. What was that? It was an offside or something?
Allegedly, but
yeah. That was a brilliant finish as well, by the way. Yeah. Well, it looked it from where we are. Here in the West Upper. Yeah. Superb stop. Let's see how the second half goes.
Jesus.
If it's anywhere near as good as the first half, and if we get the same result as the first half, I'll be a happy man.
I'm happy with a point. Yeah.
So, Mo, we're joined by Mo as well now in the West Upper, who briefly was on there, a cameo at the weekend on our pod. Yeah. Just quickly get the latest ideas from you on this game.
The best game I've seen so far.
Astonishing.
Yeah,
football,
yeah, next year.
This is proper Champions League quality from both teams.
Yeah. Amazing. Very impressive, to be honest.
So good, so good. Well, enjoy the second half.
Yeah.
Final score. Lamptey's wearing a child's onesie. So post-match, it's finished 1-1. The Albion are on to 62 points. Europa League mathematically confirmed. And up in my usual spot in the West Upper, just behind me, I've been joined by Pablo, who's Argentinian. Did he travel over from Argentina for the game?
No, I actually live in London.
Ah, right.
Cool. I live in London, yeah, but I'm Argentinian.
Excellent.
So here to support
McAllister. Fantastic. You're a Boca fan as well, we should get that in.
Yeah, big fan.
And if you can hear anything above this noise, hang on a minute.
So good.
Okay, now. So how have you enjoyed the game?
It was amazing. The atmosphere here is amazing. People was so sharp all the time. The team played great. It was like the biggest team was Brighton. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Really? They were. I think Man City was happy with the draw.
I think so.
Yeah.
The first half was absolutely amazing. It might be the best first half of football or half of football I've seen, I think, at the Albion. Maybe in the Premier League at all. Actually, it was great stuff. How did you find it?
The pressing was so good. They tried to recover the ball high in the field that it was like very good. They had a lot of chances. And the VAR two times checking the goals. But against a big team, it's amazing.
Have you picked an English team yet?
Yeah. So since I moved to UK 5 years ago, I've been living first in Burgessville.
Oh right.
So I work here in Hope. I'm a big fan of Brighton.
Ah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club. I know you've been with them a while now, but that's great. That's super.
Yeah.
Love to have fans from all over. and you've got Argentinian player in the squad.
Nowadays, there's a lot of Argentinian people following Brighton because of McAllister's, and now we're another two.
Yeah.
So I know that Alexis is maybe close to leave.
Yeah.
But I hope that we're another stays for a while. And
he's already been called up to the senior squad, hasn't he, on one or two occasions, I think.
Yeah.
How do you see him going? Because I'm not sure right is his favourite position. It's hard to say. It's early on, and we don't know him that well yet.
Actually, I follow the Argentinian League, of course, he was only playing there for 1 year.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing apparition on the football.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to progress a lot.
Yeah.
He's still really young. And for sure he's being looked for the national team.
Yeah.
Of course, there is a solid squad now in the national team, but they are looking for alternatives. Yeah. I know that we're not this one. Garnacho from Manchester United.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. Brilliant. Well, it's been great chatting to you, Pablo. Good luck to Boca for the season as well when they're next playing.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you back here up in the West Upper.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Cheers. Have a good one. So, Duncan said goodbye to everyone. So before he goes, I thought I'd now get him on the podcast.
All right.
So the second half, not quite as astounding as the first, but still pretty good. Overall made for a fantastic game. No change in the score. Either team could have won it. Haaland had a goal ruled out, Snigger. And we could have scored. And that Colwell shot, they're great. That sums up my side of things. How did you find it?
I found it absolutely brilliant. One of the best games I've ever watched for the Albion. Just an incredible, incredible game. We matched them toe-to-toe.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's just incredible. Sorry, I've been distracted because there's a load of other guys coming over.
We're trying to get in one of the Tipple specimens. Rich Tipple.
Rich, how's it going?
You've been on the pub before.
Yeah.
Well, leave it to Duncan. Cheers, mate. See you later.
See you, Miller.
Rich, that was quite a good season, wasn't it? Last time I spoke to you, I can't remember when it was. It would have been early in the season.
Russ, I'm disappointed that 2 points dropped.
So am I. Jesus Christ, it's not good enough.
We played him off the park.
Well,
that's arguably the best team in the world, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
And we, man for man, we were the better team today.
Yeah.
But we made Man City time waste.
Yeah.
That's how good
we are. I'll tell you what, put Van Hecker in against him next time as well.
He was struggling with that, wasn't he? Oh, I love
it. More than we've done.
And they were letting him have the ball. They were letting him have the ball, and he just carried it forward, and it was superb.
It's beautiful.
They had no answers.
What?
And now you're gonna believe us, and now you're gonna believe us, and now you're gonna believe us. We'll win Europa League.
Oh, I wonder where that was going. Fantastic. And Simon, come on, very quickly, Simon, go on. You've got to. I know you don't want to. Rich's brother Simon with us as well. What a season, Si. That was superb, wasn't it? We haven't even finished yet. We've got Villa to beat on Sunday.
Yeah, I know. You're going.
Yeah. I'd love to deprive him of Europe now. I've just got this mean streak in me.
What, do you want Tottenham's game, though?
Yeah, because Tottenham probably don't want to be in the Europa Conference.
Yeah.
They'd rather be out of everything and bail for next season.
Brentford.
Villa will want to be in there. Oh, yeah, Brentford would be
great.
I
think it'd be quite nice to see
Brentford
in. I know Tony would probably be too
keen. I know, and also them getting in the same year we do, same time, it feels like,
Are you saying we should let Villa win just to stop?
No, I don't. I'm not bitter with the bees. I quite like the bees. They'll be below us in qualifying.
I'll be honest with you. I don't care who's in the conference. To be honest, we're in the Europa. So,
you went round with your Fulham mates a few years ago in Grand Europe. Said it was absolutely fantastic.
I think I went to us. Yeah. I didn't go around. I went to the semi-final and the final with them.
Just the small games then?
Yeah, the small ones.
But imagine doing that now. Well, especially that, for any European games.
I know.
It's
insane.
We'd be sitting in some square in Belgium or Portugal or
Budapest.
Or Bulgaria or Budapest or Astana.
Aberdeen. I'll see you in Aberdeen again.
Aberdeen then. Yeah, we've done that together, haven't we?
Done that pre-season.
The Christian era, how things have moved on, it's unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
We've come a long way since Junior McDougal, haven't we?
Just a bit, yeah. Junior McDougal.
Oh my god. I loved him as a kid.
No. I don't know what to say after that, really. I think that's probably the end, isn't it, Red? Anyway, Rick, Simon, as always, the Tippers. Always a pleasure. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, guys.
And so for the final stint of the podcast, we're now back at the car park. On our way back, I'm with the gent and the lovely lady wife, Jane. Jane's not going to contribute on the podcast, but Raymond is. You've got plenty to say on this, I'm sure. One all draw in the end.
Well, I thought, it's quite obvious we were robbed, weren't we? We got the ball in the net two other times. I mean, for no good reason, actually a handball and an offside, they were disallowed. I mean, surely the ref should know, the home team, that those things get given. So, really, we should have won 3-1. But seriously, for large parts of that game, we matched the best team in the world at the moment. Yep. They had virtually their first team out, with perhaps Diaz and Edison, the two main people missing, that one thinks of, and Mahrez didn't do much. De Bruyne had a couple of moments. Haaland had a couple of moments, including a foul for a disallowed goal.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a class team, and you can see that. And it was a pleasure, given the result, to watch them. Yeah. If we'd been having 4-0, I'm not sure I'd be saying quite the same thing. But actually, if they're the best team in the world, where are Brighton?
Well, we've got given somewhere fairly close behind, haven't we?
Well, absolutely. But when you think of the players we hadn't got, we hadn't got March, we hadn't got Dunk, we hadn't got Lallana. You know, there were a whole series of people. We had to start without McAllister. Yeah. You know, he's sort of knackered. Ferguson came on later. We really were about our 1¾ team. And we had Buonanotte, Enciso, Ferguson, all Colwell, four teenagers on that side.
By the starting or coming off the bench.
Side.
Ferguson came off the bench. And
From that viewpoint, it's quite a thing. Well, I mean, it's quite a testament. And it's a hell of a testament to what Roberto's doing.
Yeah. Those players that are maybe more questions, people are wondering whether they'll make the grade. I'm thinking here of Buonanotte and Van Hecker. Some people have questioned whether they'll have a longer term future. I thought they both played really well, particularly Van Hecker, who had to deal with Haaland. Yeah. And short of being done on there was a free header which he could have scored and should have done, and he did set up their goal. That was the only time he stumbled, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
Apart from that,
the one set the goal, actually, it was down the sort of channel that Colwell was marking rather than
him.
So,
and then the disallowed goal was it's a blatant foul, pulled his shirt.
On Colwell,
yeah.
I thought very encouraging. I mean, he's had very little game time.
Yeah.
So he hasn't got that match sharpness. The difference, whereas he had one or two rough edges, in the previous match he was playing.
Yeah.
This one, some of those rough edges are gone. If that's the improvement he can make, by having had a reasonable run in one game, it shows that he actually is potentially a successor to Dunk.
And you have to give people time, so people will escalate their potential or not at their own pace. And some people will hit the ground running, others will hit the ground close to running. Others will take a while.
But you can't hit the ground running or even not running if you're not playing.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. Yeah, he hasn't been getting the game time. Yeah. He did some good passes. He prepared on two or three occasions to bring the ball forward with a bit of pace when they weren't expecting it. He was composed all the time on the ball. Yeah. And, I think that's one thing we've answered is that he's worth keeping in the squad at Brighton. Not sending out on loan. I won't say it wouldn't benefit him, but we won't have him. We'd have to have somebody else in there. Yeah. And given all the matches we'll be playing next year, I mean, if nothing else, we've got an extra six. With the Europa League, as we now know, definitely. It's doing it. So we are going to need them.
Yeah, he's had some experience with us now, not just tonight, but other games. And other players like that.
And Webster's only going to play 60% of the season anyway, as we know, so you need somebody else to cover him.
Yeah, and if you've got someone else in, they've got to either have experience equivalent to what these guys have already been starting to get, or you're going to risk something from the off again, or you're going to have to pay through the nose to have an expensive loan or purchase.
But I didn't see either Colwell or Van Hecker being exposed by pace.
No, we look great. And that's with certainly one of the players you would consider would be a reserve based on this season, Van Hecker. Dunk being rested because of back and calf complaints, he wanted to rest. and yet we cope well. In fact, to be honest with you, I go as far as saying I think we should play Van Hecker against Man City next season, because I thought he coped arguably better with Van Haaland than Dunk did. Maybe rest Dunk for that game.
But also, I think one of the things that he's got a bit of physicality, and therefore he coped better with Haaland than a lot of centre-backs in the Premier League, and indeed Europe.
Absolutely. Speaking about the disallowed goals, but I've spoke at half-time with the others up in the West Upper about the game, and it was fantastic, and Ciso's goal was superb. I'll get your views on that in a moment. We obviously conceded the goal before that. I thought it looked like it might be offside. There weren't a great deal of complaints. I haven't seen it back yet. That's the one bit I didn't see on the replays in the concourse. I'll assume they got the right decision. Haaland was unselfish, laid it into Foden for the goal. And that was 1-0. But our goal from Enciso was superb. On the video replay, you could see a couple of Man City fans applauding it as it went in.
Well, apart from anything else, I think one has to give a lot of credit to Colwell, because it is a good run forward, which I think they weren't expecting. He actually passed the ball to exactly where Enciso wanted it, so that he could, in a sense, run onto it.
Yeah.
And he just kept going straight, and it was a superb strike.
Yeah.
I have to say, only a few minutes later, almost the same thing happened. Enciso getting the ball. This time he was fouled, but I actually think, had they not fouled him, he would have gone on, and I think he would have scored a second.
Yeah.
His confidence was up.
Oh, yes. He'd gone from having quite a hard-working but unimpacting role overall to that goal, which was obviously very impacting. And then, as you said, he stepped on and he just completely started.
I thought he had a very good game. Yeah. And I know, I appreciate he only played about 5 minutes in the second half.
Maybe he should have taken that free kick. I mean, Welbeck hit the bar. I suppose that's not too bad. But and Ciso was standing over it. Maybe he would have gone that step further and got it just inside the post. Who knows? But disallowed goal. So Mittema was... Sorry, Welbeck, wasn't it, we were saying, was just offside for that goal. And Mittema, handball. I haven't seen that bit back.
And, of course, Welbeck hit, as you mentioned, the post with the free kick. So, I mean, that's... Two goals disallowed, one hit the post, their one goal disallowed.
Yeah.
So I think we win on points. Slightly spurious argument.
We can enjoy that, can't we, though?
Absolutely. And I just thought the team played well. I think Roberto has just done a fantastic job. Yeah. And just hope that the McAllisters, the Casidos in this world, or at least one of them, will think, this is pretty special.
Maybe we should finish this story a little bit more. One final chapter, maybe they should think.
Yeah.
Why not? They're young. They've got plenty of time ahead of them.
If we let one of them go, say McAllister, it might help us on the rebuild and getting extra players in. I think we should try, and I'd like to hope that we'll do our utmost to try and persuade Casino, in particular, to stay on one more season.
It is feasible. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes. It seems McAllister's going to go. There was a few songs in the first half when he was warming up. Actually, it might be in the second, where they were singing Alexis McAllister, we want you to stay. And he did look up and applauded the crowd briefly, which I took to mean that he's definitely staying. I'm not sure that's what was meant. No, I mean, he probably will go. But Caicedo, it's a little bit of a funny one to judge, isn't it? Because he signed the new, after the misnomers and the
he's
the
got
tweet
up to 27,
and
there's a year's extension on it, apparently. So he could stay to 28. But actually, if we said to him, stay to 24...
Yeah.
You know, you'll
have a season.
Much more experience.
Making more history.
One more season.
European campaign.
And if we get into the Champions League, then stay with us. If we don't get into the Champions League next season, then fine.
Or if we get into the Champions League, decide then. But at least give us one more season. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be good? Anyway, on that note, I think that pretty much sums up. Any further thoughts?
What a fantastic season.
Yeah.
Don't we have to say?
Yeah.
And, we've just moved to a different level.
Yeah, the greatest in our history in terms of success. And today we looked sensationally good.
Anyway.
We're playing, as you said, the best team in the world, and we went not only head-to-head with them, I think we edged it. We edged the game, and I think we were a bit unlucky not to win,
I think they probably had more possession.
I think they did, yeah.
And
someone was saying the opposite. I don't agree with that.
I would have said that they had 50, I mean, the first half particularly more.
55 to 60, I reckon.
I reckon 58 or so, or just under 60 in the
half. We'll have a look later.
But in the second half, first half, we came into it. In the second half, we began to match them more.
Yeah.
Apart from, in both halves, the first few minutes.
Yeah.
And they came out strongly.
I mean, they were a very, very good team, and they were pretty much, as you said, the best part of full strength. And we went toe-to-toe with them. We were sensational. And that's the mark of where we've come to. We've got the Europa League. It's mathematically guaranteed. Not that it wasn't. Even if they got a last-minute winner, Villa would have had to have beaten us 8-0 in the final game of the season, which was never going to happen. But
well,
now...
unlikely. I mean...
Yeah, very, very unlikely.
Happens. We have three players
centre. Not that strange.
and including both goalkeepers or something. Yeah. And then we have a problem.
Yeah, that could be... That could
and
be
then awesome. Sisto goes in goal at our smallest... Just about our smallest player.
Maybe the fact we could relax into this scenario, realistically, going into the game, helped us. And maybe in the same way, the Villa match. There's pressure on Villa, there isn't on us. The tables are turned. They prevented us from winning a title that is, you know, it's a trophy and it's very irritating, but in the end, it's not. It's incidental in a way. But we could deprive them of Europe, potentially, if we can get the result that...
And a large part of North London will be hoping we do.
Yes, I bet they do. And indeed West London, who might be looking to sneak in as well. Yeah, yeah, Brentford. Anyway, on that note, we shall sign out for the episode. Raymond, so, stand or fall?
Up the Albion. Sports Social
Podcast Network. Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.